as the flash drive.
Whichever one you want in the record, I get.
Yeah, that's, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kahn.
Thank you.
Mr. Trask.
Oh, sorry. Please state your name for the record. You've been here long enough.
I've seen it all, right?
Yeah.
Blake Trask, last name Trask, T-R-A-S-K.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony provided in today's hearing is the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Trask, would you please state your name and address for the record?
My name is Blake Trask. The address, which I just memorized, the business address is 7787 62nd Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98115.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us about your education.
I have a bachelor's degree from Colorado College, a bachelor's in international political economy, a master's degree from the University of Washington, a master's of marine affairs, essentially environmental policy and planning.
And what's your current position?
I am the senior policy director at the Cascade Bicycle Club.
For how long have you held that position?
I began that position in January of 2016.
And what are your previous positions from the most recent?
Prior to that, I was the state policy director at Washington Bikes. That was from August 2011 until December 2015, at the time of the merger between Washington Bikes and Cascade Bicycle Club. Prior to that, I was a consultant at Triangle Associates. I held that role from May 2007 until July of 2011.
Have you served on any public transportation advisory committees?
Yes. From 2008 to 2012, I was on the Seattle Bicycle Advisory Board. I served as chair of that board for about 2.5 years prior.
Sure.
Or others. I serve on the East Side Rail Corridor Regional Advisory Committee. That's made up of owners of the East Side Rail Corridor, and I serve in that capacity as a representative of the East Side Greenway Alliance, which is a coalition of seven nonprofits in the region that are advocating for the completion of the East Side Rail Corridor.
Any other
as a trail? Sorry.
Yeah. Any other advisory committee roles?
I currently serve. I'm a mayoral appointee of the Move Seattle Oversight Committee. Other advisory, I'm on the Missing Link Design Advisory Committee as well.
Has your work at Cascade Bike Club included bicycle route design and safety issues?
Yes, definitely. That's a big part of what we do in terms of advocating for safe bicycling, not only in Seattle, but also statewide.
Does your work on the Missing Link Design Advisory Committee entail route design and safety issues?
Very much so. We're working in a collaborative process with many different stakeholders in the neighborhood and otherwise, and we're going through kind of those questions with the design team. There's a design consultant specifically that's applied to, or that's reporting to the design advisory committee to really talk about all the different things around trail widths, around intersections, different design treatments, all those things about green paint, where does it belong, et cetera, signage, everything to, how do we address those kind of speed issues that Mr. Schultz mentioned and was asked. So it's pretty extensive, and it's really exciting.
Any other projects on which you've worked on design and safety issues for bicycle transportation corridors?
For sure. I mean, there are a number, another recent one is we're working on a Vision Zero safety project on Northeast 65th Street that goes from about Ravenna Avenue over to Northeast 20th Avenue. And that involves a pretty currently chaotic corridor where you have two informal lanes each way during the peak hours. And so it's hard for both pedestrians to cross. There's not defined space for people who bike to use that corridor, and it's resulted in a number of serious injuries as well as some really tragic deaths in the last couple of years. So in that capacity, We're working to provide input and advice not only on behalf of some of the neighborhood members, but also on behalf of Cascade Bicycle Club to the Seattle Department of Transportation around lane widths, travel lane widths, speed maximums, all those types of design features that would be addressed in a Vision Zero project like that.
Are you familiar with the Missing Link project?
I am.
What's the basis for that familiarity?
Professionally, it really started at the issuance of the DEIS in June of 2016. There, representing Cascade Bicycle Club, it was a relatively new issue for me. So we sat back and looked at the four alternatives, and I had my staff planner really fully evaluate that because I wanted to see, based on Cascade's previous positions, what was the right choice for us to make. And through that thorough analysis, looking at the different driveways, how many intersections were at some of the different on some of the different alternatives, in our preference was around the South Social alternative. And from that, we went through pretty extensive conversations with members of the Ballard appellants, the Ballard Business Coalition. I can't remember the previous name. And others to really reach out and have conversations about how we could get to yes. And so that's been ongoing. Now I'm involved in the Design Advisory Committee, so really intimately involved in that and have done a lot of different things around it.
Have you walked the study area?
Yes, I've walked the study area now twice out and back, one other time with the Design Advisory Committee wearing fluorescent jackets because of the safety issues around it. And I've intermittently stopped and evaluated different places beyond just those walks. And so I've walked it kind of partially many different times and through the study area. I spend a lot of time there with my family. I'm a Northwest Seattle resident, so I'm really familiar with the area.
Have you ever biked the study area?
Very much so. And
times.
Countless times, both recreationally as well as in my commute, as well as now professionally, to really get a sense of some of the different features and defining characteristics of the corridor itself.
In your personal experience and exposure to the study area, have you experienced the safety conditions presented by cycling and walking on the route of the preferred alternative?
Very much so. I think biking on that, as Mr. Kaznicki suggested, can be somewhat of a thrill ride, and that's because of the existing constraints with it. The issues with the fact that there are roadway panel seams that are right where bicycles will be, and those gaps can be really big, and that's where your tire can go in.
Are you a thrill seeker, Mr. Trask?
I am not, and expressly my interest in bicycling is to make bicycling really boring.
Did you do any specific work to prepare for your testimony in this case?
I did.
Tell me about that.
I decided to really go out and document that, taking photos and some videos.
Document what?
Document the current conditions and the current safety issues as I've identified them through my extensive walking and biking, driving, just experience in the neighborhood, et cetera. I thought it was really important to be able to kind of take that evidence as I've seen it and be able to display that.
When did you do that work?
I did that on October 26th, 27th, and November 1st.
So I'd like to refer you to, I guess we should mark some exhibits at this point. So, Your Honor, when we prepared these exhibits, we were using a different nomenclature system. We thought we were going to be CBC. So I understand now that we will be marking Cascade exhibits as R.
I'll just pick up where we are with that. Yes, thank you.
So I'd like to refer you, Mr. Trask, to what is in your notebook as CBC-4 and is up on the screen behind you.
We'll mark that as R37.
R37, thank you. Did you take that photograph?
I took this photo at Northwest 20th Avenue and Schulschel Avenue Northwest.
What does it do? What does it depict?
For me, it does a really nice job of showing a couple of people on bikes. They are heading towards the completed section of the Burke-Gilman Trail towards the east. They're right in front of Sagstad Marina. As you can see, Salmon Bay Sand and Gravel is in the background. And you can see, the parked cars were right up against the shoulder adjacent to them, so they're driving, or they're riding in the door zone, essentially. You can see the traffic heading against them, so it's a constrained environment and there's a lot of congestion there. But what is also most interesting to me is you can see a pretty big truck that's starting to barrel down on them from behind, and we'll be passing them in just a few seconds.
What is the door zone?
The door zone is that place where, in this situation, and typically the driver's side door opens. A door opens out about 3 or so feet, and typically people aren't really thinking about that there might be a bicycle right adjacent to the car or the truck in these instances. And so they swing it out there, and there's a bicycle there, and that bicycle rider runs right into the door. And it's a cause of a lot of injuries in the city, statewide, and nationally. And it's really an issue that as a bicycle rider, in my personal experience, I'm always thinking about when I'm on the streets.
In the bicycling community, has the term become a verb?
To dooring?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Or to get doored.
Yeah. Anything else in that photo you want to emphasize?
I think those are the key elements there. Some of the other photos will depict other elements of the existing conditions on the corridor and what it's like to deal with it.
Showing you what is labeled as CBC-6 and
Marcus R38.
R38, thank you. Exhibit R38, that's your photograph?
I took this photo at Northwest 20th Avenue and Schulschel Avenue Northwest. It's essentially, I'm on the other side of the street there. This is a little bit off of where you could see the bicycle riders in the other photo. But what's interesting about this is the informal driveway markings that are used by landowners and businesses depicted by that blue barrel, which it's a little confusing if you're not aware of or you're not really sure what's going on there, where the driveway starts or stops, which side the driveway might be on or what have you. So there's a real lack of definition in the corridor, and I think it's been defined as chaos by a number of folks in this hearing. I think another thing that's really unique about this is you can see, the car is passing, giving a little bit of berth, but still not so much, and that there's a lot of gravel that's intruding into the roadway. So the bicycle rider is currently on some of that gravel that's extruding from the driveway. And I've already mentioned this, but you can see the panels of the street, that kind of seam where the bicycle tire is maybe just an inch or two off of. And that varies through the corridor in terms of its width. In this situation, it might be okay. In other situations, it can be kind of a hairy situation. So the result of all these kind of factors that come together, and you can see on the far right side, is that driver or that bicycle rider is about to go up against parked cars. So when they get into that situation, they really have no room to maneuver if something happens, if they hit the gravel, if they hit the seam, and they fly off. They're going to hit that moving car. They're going to hit the parked car. Who knows what will happen? And, that's the existing situation.
Let me make two objections.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm not sure this is the same day as the prior photograph, just based on the rider's attire. If you flip back one, the rider's in what looks like to be winter clothes, and then this one, the rider's in T-shirt and shorts. It is Seattle, and people do that. But my bigger objection is, the witness is testifying to a lot of things that may or may not happen, but are not depicted in this photograph. So if we could just keep the testimony to what this picture actually depicts, instead of his editorializing about it.
Your Honor, I'm not...
It's not the same day, but they're marked different dates, so I'm not sure if it was intended that they would be the same date.
If I said it was the same day, I said it was on the other side of the street in a similar location. And I apologize if I said the same day.
Okay. And I guess my question is, are they even, I mean, 1026 is October 26th and 1027 is the next day in the fall. And maybe it was a beautiful day, but I just wanted to make sure that we're talking about the same month.
I think you can see that there's pretty nice blue sky there. And I have friends that wear shorts pretty often. And when you're bicycle riding, oftentimes people like to, they get a little hot. It was on October 26th.
This October was...
It was a beautiful, but he did have a nice fall.
And to your second aspect of the objection, let's make sure that we're clarifying the testimony at least as to whether it's something actually depicted in here or whether you're testifying to your experience as a cyclist or something along those lines. That
sure.
This is illustrative of.
Mr. Trask, you said that the blue barrel marks a driveway?
As I understand it, in the typical conditions where there are driveways in that corridor, it seems like that's the kind of nomenclature of driveways on Shoshone.
So do you recall which side of the barrel the driveway is on?
In this situation, no.
Okay. Showing you what's marked as CBC 7, this would be Exhibit R39, I think?
Yes.
Thank you. Show me what's depicted here.
I took this photo at Northwest 45th Street and Shoshone Avenue Northwest. It would be best described for folks. The structure right in front of the bicycle rider is essentially the Ballard Bridge. So it's the bicycle rider is heading westbound, about to go underneath the Ballard Bridge in the interim condition of the Missing Link trail. And this rider, you can see that there are railroad tracks there, and this is the situation that's been described, I think, at least a couple times in previous testimony, the place in which people oftentimes crash over the Missing Link tracks of the Ballard Terminal Railroad. This photo is representative of the issue of a bicycle rider.
I'm an object. It now is moving past what the photo depicts. If we could have some questions about what this represents, that might be helpful instead of just having him testify at will.
I asked him what the photo depicts, and I'll simply ask Mr. Trask to answer more narrowly. However, I think much of what he's providing here is the context for why he took the photo at that location. So I think it's meaningful to allow him to testify that this is one of the places on the Missing Link that cyclists have to navigate across railroad tracks and the significance of that obstacle.
Trust me, the day is late, and I don't want to make this go any longer than we have to, but that's why we require questions to be asked instead of just having a witness get up and talk.
Your Honor, I agree.
Let's break it up. The witness was essentially speaking to what the photo illustrates or represents was his testimony.
Yeah.
If that can be elicited via question, there's certainly no problem with identifying through the witness's testimony for him what this represents.
Yes.
As far as conditions in the project area.
Thank you. Okay. Did you complete your description of what you're seeing there?
I was about to say the photo depicts the bicycle rider going at an oblique angle, which is what is the cause of a lot of the crashes there. And as in my personal experience, what I try to avoid is going at that kind of angle. You try to go across it. Unfortunately, just by the interim nature and everything else, because there's a railroad track there, you can't control that situation as well as one would like. And so that's what happens.
Showing you what is labeled as CBC 13. I think, are we up to R40?
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Describe what that photo depicts.
I was standing in the same location as I took that photo at Northwest 45th Street and Shoshone Avenue Northwest. The travel lane right behind me is an eastbound travel lane. That car was going eastbound, did a U-turn in the interim bicycle facility, and drove straight through the bicycle facility, just to show the current conditions.
So the portion of the lane that the car is occupying, which direction would the cyclists be traveling if the car were...
The car is in the westbound bicycle lane.
Westbound bicycle lane. Thank you. Exhibit marked CBC8, R41, I think. What does this show?
I took this photo at Northwest Vernon Place and Schulschel Avenue Northwest. The bicycle rider is headed east-southeast, you can see the bicycle rider is on what is maybe a foot and a half shoulder with gravel on it. On to their right in the dirt, there are pretty significant potholes if they veer there, and there's vehicle traffic adjacent to them that just passed them at this location.
Thank you. Next photograph labeled CBC10, exhibit R42. What does that show?
I took this photo at Northwest 22nd Avenue and Schulschel Avenue Northwest. You can see a bicycle rider hugging that kind of shoulder, or as we might say, the desire line of this corridor. And, you know, this provides real good perspective of how they're right adjacent to those, to the parked cars that are really hugging the shoulder, how they're in the door zone explicitly. And with, traffic on the other side, they don't have much room to maneuver. And personally, I've experienced that.
You've experienced what?
Being in a pretty tight quarters with motor vehicle traffic passing me on my left and parked cars, you know, hugging that shoulder, it doesn't give you much room to maneuver.
Which direction is this guy going?
This is east-southeast.
Thank you.
I guess towards the Fremont neighborhood.
Thank you. Exhibit mark CBC11, now it's going to be exhibit R43. What does this show?
I took this photo at Northwest 22nd Avenue and Schulschel Avenue Northwest. It was in the morning of October 27th, and appeared to be a son and his father probably going to school, and they're using the corridor on the sidewalk. And, you know, in my experience, if I was to be taking my daughter there, I would be using the sidewalk too.
What happens at the end of the block to that sidewalk, do you know?
Typically, there's not much, there aren't curb ramps, there's not much, there haven't been the ADA improvements in other parts of the city, so, you know, they would probably get off their bike to get onto the street, and if they kept going on the sidewalk, have to get off and back on again.
Thank you. Showing you a photograph labeled CBC12, exhibit R44. What does this depict?
I took this photo at Northwest Vernon Place and Schulschel Avenue Northwest. It's right in front of Salmon Bay Sand and Gravel's retail operations on the north side of Schulschel, and you can see a bunch of pallets that are strewn into the public right-of-way, and it appears that there's been kind of some sort of ad hoc cone thing right on the roadway. This is where I would ride as a bicycle. So in this situation, you know, on my route, hugging the shoulder, all of a sudden there's debris in the roadway, and I'll be forced into the traffic, depending on what kind of cars or trucks it presents the situation.
Have you been by that location on other occasions?
Yes.
Is that scene with the pallets a one-time problem, or is it recurrent?
It's been recurrent. This one didn't depict. Oftentimes, there's a free sign there, so if folks just want to pick those pallets up. So I've seen it repeatedly.
And we'll stop there.
Thank you. Oh, Your Honor, could I offer in evidence exhibits 37 through 44.
No objection.
R37 through R44 are admitted. All right. Again, you can leave, feel free to leave items here, not personal items, just items for the record, and your notebooks, etc. I have on my list as updates for our record that there will be a substitute image for our, from Ms. Hershey's report, the conflict diagram, because it was shrunken, not the whole thing. And then Ms. Ellig's list of driveways broken down so we know which were sub-driveways as were related. And then we're replacing R36 with a color copy with staples, or restapled.
Correct.
Is there anything else that, for the record, that we... needed to clear up. Okay. We'll start at 9 a.m. And one thing I'll ask the council is, since we'll be concluding that day, is be prepared to discuss closing argument and schedule and what your needs are for that. I will also want some time at the end to discuss with you issues and legal matters, as it were, for your closing, to try to give you some guidance as to questions that I have, not expecting answers that day, but so that you know at least some things that would be helpful to me in your closing arguments. Is there anything else that we need to address before we adjourn for the day?
No.
Thank you, everyone, for a dedicated week and good counsel, good witnesses. I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
Thank you. Thank you.